Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm your host, Don Redman, and with us today is Lathan Masteller, the artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park for February and March 2017. His residency is sponsored by the National Parks Arts Foundation and the Gettysburg Foundation. Lathan has the distinction of being the first resident artist in this program whose medium is virtual reality and augmented reality. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers, Lathan.
Hey, Donald. Glad to be here, man.
All right, so why don't we start first by just clarifying a few terms out of the introduction for our audience. And can you explain to us the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality?
Yep. I don't know if I know the terms like too well, but virtual reality to me is like more of like a simulation that like you immerse yourself in that's completely digital, and augmented reality is sort of like a digital overlay over the physical world. So, you know, like the whole Pokemon Go thing versus you know, actually inhabiting an entirely digitally created like environment.
Okay. So, since you're working with the Park Service, how do you envision that these technologies could enhance people's visit to the park?
Yeah. The project I'm doing right now is like a good example of that. The project I'm doing right now involves like I'm recreating a portion of the park, the National Cemetery, Yeah, I'm recreating the cemetery, and the Soldiers' Monument seems to be the place where, like, people suspect Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. Okay. I did some research on that. It's kind of obscure where he actually gave it, but that seems to be, like, you know, the focal point of it. So, basically, you start off in this, like, VR, and you walk up to the monument, and there's sort of, like, a portal. And then, so, if you, like, look in the portal, it kind of looks like a cabin or something.
Okay.
And, like, so you walk in, and you're in this room with Lincoln, like, at candlelight, like, writing the Gettysburg Address. So, like, you get this, like, first-person experience of him, like, actually taking the time to write it.
Okay.
And so he's, like, got, like, one hand on the Bible, and he's, like, you know, writing it, you know. Okay. I heard he was a pretty religious guy, so I thought that'd be cool to incorporate. And then, so, in the cabin, there's, like, another portal, so you go through that, and you're back where you started, but you're in 1863... So it'll be, like, you know, black and white. The monument won't be there, but everybody will be there for the Gettysburg Address. So it'll be, like, you basically traveled back in time, and you can, like, watch Lincoln give the Gettysburg Address. So, like, back to your question, I think these, like, technologies, it's almost like a documentary or something. But, like, instead of just... you know, that separation of, like, you watching it on the screen, you can, like, actually be immersed in, like, the moment that you're trying to get across to people. So.
Okay. All right. So, are there any drawbacks, maybe, to using this kind of technology versus a real-life experience? Or maybe there's benefits over it, which I'm not sure which way that might go.
So. Yeah. There's definitely positives and negatives, you know. Since I'm, like, making all my VR stuff by myself, there's... a lot of corners I have to cut, because, like, I have to be, like, the animator, I have to, like, get all the models, I have to, like, compose all the sounds and stuff, so, in terms of, like, visuals, you know, nothing's ever gonna match up to the real world, like, I don't, you know, it could be, like, 100 years in the future, I don't think technology will ever be able to recreate, like, the actual world, so, and, you know, like, it could keep, there's this, like, term in VR called suspending disbelief. So the more the technology advances, the more they'll be able to suspend disbelief. So, you know, you're, like, even more and more fooled that you're, like, actually there.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, an advantage of VR would be, like, a, you know, like I said, like, the whole, like, time travel and, like, you know, you don't have to play by the rules of, like, gravity or anything like that, so...
Okay.
Yeah, you can really do whatever you want there.
Now, there was a phenomenon that kind of started back in July of 2016, which was less virtual reality and more the augmented reality, which was the Pokemon Go phenomenon, where people use their smartphones and the phone would overlay the monsters and things, as well as, I understand, sometimes factual information about the areas they were visiting. I mean, maybe if you have some experience with that, if you could kind of explain that to our audience a little bit, and whether you think apps like that are enhance or detract from people's experiences when they're out in the real world, so to speak.
Yeah, so my opinion on that is, like, I got heavy into Pokemon Go. It was like, I'm a big Pokemon fan. I've been, like, I played every single Game Boy game since I was little, so, yeah, my heart's sold on Pokemon, so... when that came out, I was like all about it. I wanted to be the best Pokemon Go player, you know. So, okay. I live in a college town, Manhattan, Kansas, and it was nuts. Like, you know, everybody in this day and age is gonna be on their phone and like kind of antisocial more than, you know, back in the day. Anyways, so I think Pokemon Go is like a really beautiful thing. Like, you know what? I forgot what the term was. There's like little hot spots where you can like spin these like nodes. Like and get like Pokeballs and stuff like that, and you can put like lures on these little like landmarks in the town, and like Pokemon will be attracted to the lures. So you know, like places that were never visited, all of a sudden there's like 50 people like all chatting, talking, like all catching Pokemon together, having a good time. So in that sense, I think it's like a really awesome thing, and you know, they wouldn't have been there prior to that app. So
in some ways it does kind of give people a way to be exposed to things that they might never encounter before, and yet maybe at the same time they aren't necessarily engaged with the area because they're involved in the game. So you kind of have a double-sided sword there, so to speak.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Okay. Now, you're fairly early in your career, a recent graduate, correct?
Right, yeah. I graduated in December.
Great. So I guess, you know, one of the questions, and it's more of a science and technology question that more applies to those people, but I think as we develop these technologies more and more over time, one of the questions that maybe often doesn't get asked, we often ask, can we do this? But we don't always ask the question, should we do this? Have you faced anything like that yet, or can you foresee where you might come to a point where you have to ask yourself that question, should I do this with this technology?
That's kind of a really big question. I mean, with VR, you could, like, literally, like, portray anything you wanted. So, you know, I ask myself that question, like, all the time when I'm making something. I think a lot of artists ask themselves that question, you know, when they make stuff. And so, I mean... I pretty much just have, like, an intention, like, when I'm making something. So, usually it's, like, can I make someone's, like, day better? Or, like, you know, something like that. Like, so, if whatever I'm putting on the VR or whatever I'm putting in the environment isn't cohesive to, like, you know, making stuff better, you know? If it detracts from... you know, someone's experience, then I don't incorporate it.
Now, looking at your website and some other things like that, it seems like you're not just a virtual artist. You work in old school analog media, so to speak. And so do you find these media, different media fulfilling in different ways, or how do you use them differently?
Yeah, for sure. So... one of my big pet peeves about art is, like, an artist, like, gets put in a box a lot. Like, they'll, like, start doing one type of media. Like, oh, I'm a painter, or I'm a writer, or, you know, I'm a drawer, you know? But, you know, I started... my education at KSU was, like, really, like, fundamental, and so we, like, did all the drawing, painting classes and stuff. And our, like, digital side wasn't there for, like, the first 2.5 years. We didn't even, like, really have a digital program, so. But that's, like, what I wanted to do, like, right when I got there. Like, you know, the Oculus Rift development kit came out in, like, 2012. And I was like, oh, that's definitely what I'm going to do, you know, as a career. but there was no opportunities to do that. So I just really focused on like more like philosophical ideas and like, you know, and I like really enjoyed painting and stuff. And so I think it definitely in all of those like physical mediums inform my VR stuff. Okay. And like vice versa. But and like I don't know, I don't like really talk about projects I haven't made yet, but right. one I'm planning on doing is like I make these I don't make them. A program makes these like fractals that I fiddle with, and okay. these like fractal images, and so I'm like interested in this project's interested in like merging physical mediums and virtual mediums. So I would like produce the virtual fractal on the computer, like print it on canvas, mm-hmm. and like paint over that, you know. So it's like that's already digital and physical mixed, and then I would like take a 3D scan of that painting and then like put it back into VR and like use it as like a portal to like enter the fractal. So okay. you know, it's right. like yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. Sure. I plan on doing, but yeah, in terms of like, I don't know, I just feel like artists should just make art, you know, right. like, and not like put themselves in a box so much. So
I know enough other people will put you in a box, you don't right. need to do it yourself, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned about the philosophical side of it, and I noticed in looking at some of your work that there seems to be an undercurrent of a very broad-based spirituality in your work.
Definitely.
And I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, it's like what I live for, you know. So for VR, for me, is like this like really potent potential for like immersive direct experience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people with like, I would say like many religions, there's like a sort of like people who are put off by religion, there's like sort of like a little disconnect, like you know, if they can't see it, then if you can't see it or measure it, it's not real, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people think like that. So with VR, you can like take these like all of these stories and ideas and like reproduce them virtually, and you know, you're like sitting there with it, you know, you're like actually looking at the thing now. Mm-hmm. And so for like all the religions and things, they have like a really potent potential to like ease suffering. Mm-hmm. And stuff, which is a very beautiful thing, and I think people miss out on it by just writing it off, you know.
Right.
So with like using this like new exciting technology and like incorporating that with like direct experiences like that I know I've had, and like merging the two, I hope to like produce experiences that, you know, might offer some type of like liberation or some sort of like new insight to like religion or spirituality.
Okay. Yeah. And there seemed to be not an insignificant number of death references in some of your thing. There was one of them you talked about, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Mm-hmm. As well as you had a statement that death is the universal circumstance we all have in common.
Yeah.
Which I found, you know, very truthful, I guess, for lack yeah. of a better word. How does that play into your work?
So yeah, I mean, you know, we're like the only species who's aware that we're gonna die someday, and in this like day and age, everybody's like, you know, everybody has like a team, and for me, like death is like, you know, that's something we all have in common. Mm-hmm. So like, hey, you know, we're all in the same boat here. Like uh-huh. everybody's just like inhabiting different parts of the ship and like calling it their team. So for me, I don't know, I think a lot of artists like incorporate themes of death and stuff like that mm-hmm. into their work. You know, you can't really help but like not think about it and stuff. And so death and like, you know, religion and the spiritual stuff like go hand in hand, you know, they mm-hmm. almost all speak of like that moment.
Right.
So yeah, I think VR has like a really good quality to it to like maybe ease like people's like angst mm-hmm. or surrounding death, you know. And yeah, I just saw this project that they did at I can't remember the college. I think it might be Harvard or something. They created this like basically a dying experience. So it's like there's this like special type of anxiety that people go through when they're in like hospice, you know,
right?
When they're like on their way to dying,
right?
And so like VR has like, you know, that really potent capability to like give you maybe like a pre-death, you know, okay. like a practice round.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that they've done a lot of that with for phobias for people to put them in a uh-huh. virtual world, like if they have a fear of heights mm-hmm. or something like that, and let them slowly work up to experiencing heights mm-hmm. in a environment that's physically safe. Mm-hmm. But they can learn to get over the mental fear yeah. of that. And so I guess that's kind of the same thing, except taking it to a much greater level when you're in some ways simulating death through virtual reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in my BFA project, Logos, you know, you kind of start off in this like material zone mm-hmm. and then you know, you go through this like doorway and like everything's black and there's like a black hole. And that was, like, my, like, symbol of, like, oh, this is, like, the part of the VR where, like, you kind of die metaphorically.
Okay.
So, like, if you, you know, persist through the black hole, you're, like, in this long black hallway and there's, like, a light at the very end of the tunnel. And if you make it to the light, then, like, there's, like the sort of singularity, you know, like, you know, it's not like you're trapped in a dark room mm-hmm. For eternity. It's like not like that, you know.
Okay.
Because that's still an experience. So yeah, and then so once you get to like the light at the end of the tunnel, you're in this like novelty chamber, like mm-hmm. a really abstract type of thing. And if you persist through that chamber, then you're like in basically I tried to portray like God as this like white orb, this like shifting white orb. So the concept was like the many becomes like the few becomes like the one type of thing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's bring it back. We'll come back from the other side and back to a little bit more about your work here in Gettysburg. And so the project that you're working on for the park, as far as VR, virtual reality, is this going to be something where people are walked through it like a movie, or this will this be something where they kind of can choose within the parameters of the program what mm-hmm. they can do? So can they go and walk behind Lincoln and look over right. his shoulder and see what he's writing, or is it more a directed right. thing?
Yeah, so. Good question. So I deal with like thinking like about that stuff a lot when I'm making it, because like I said, since I'm like one guy making it,
mm-hmm.
I have to like cut a lot of corners, and like there's a lot of stuff you don't see. So like I'm constantly like playing the level and I'm like, oh, can they see this thing that like I can't, you know, quite cover up over there? And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, like a lot of making art is like kind of duct taping this like illusion, you know. And so
right.
yeah, so in this Gettysburg address project, so I kind of have to like guide the experience by like with like visuals and, you know, doorways and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't have like too much interaction because like, you know, that could just like split it off in a whole nother path. And
sure.
I don't have like the manpower to like create tons of different types of paths you could walk down. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I try to like, leave it kind of open-ended for exploration in some areas, but for the most part, I'm like guiding the user, and like I use like blocking volumes, like so you might like walk into an like invisible wall, and you're like, oh, I can't go that way, okay. you know. So, yeah, like I can't recreate the entire cemetery, but I can create a portion of it, and like only let you in the bounds of that, you know. And it mm-hmm. kind of seems like you're in the whole cemetery.
Sure. So. So considering the limitations that you're experiencing now in the way that you're working, do you think you'll continue to be a kind of a solo artist, so to speak, or do you see yourself trying to work with a larger group where you would have more capabilities and more?
Yeah. So I always see myself having a solo practice, mm-hmm. you know, like the artist, you know, the solo artist, like you always have ideas that like only you want to put out there and like only you want to work on because like only you know you'll get them just right or whatever. But I would love, like absolutely love to like work for, you know, a company that makes VR stuff or like collaborate with other, you know, makers that delve in this field. Like, you know, anybody that would like be good at the things I'm not good at, you know?
Right.
So I'm not so great at the coding or like the animation stuff, but I can use programs that kind of, help me out with those things, like preloaded like animations and like auto rigging. Okay. Skeletons and stuff like that. But like what I do think I'm good at is like just like the visual stuff in general and like kind of like the creating of the actual environment itself.
Okay.
So yeah, I would like definitely love to like work with other people. I just haven't like really found those opportunities yet.
All right. Now, I understand that on March 11th from 10 to 1, you'll at the Visitor Center, there'll be a presentation of the work that you've completed so far, right?
Yeah.
Maybe just kind of give the listeners an idea of what that experience might be like, what they'll actually be doing when they come to see what you've done.
So yeah, I'm just going to be at the Visitor Center with like a table and a few monitors, and I'll have my Oculus Rift there and stuff.
And that's a headset that people put on and wear, which right. blocks out everything except what you want them to see.
Right, so. Yep. Yeah, and it has like headphones built in and stuff. So I'm just basically going to be sharing what I've made and with the public, and I might give a presentation depending on like the format. I feel like it'll be more like whoever just wants to use it, it'll just come up and like they'll probably just ask me if they're curious. But yeah, I'll just be at the Visitor Center. There's like a certain entrance to the museum, like mm-hmm. there's the lobby and then there's like a certain entrance and then you're actually in the museum. I'll be in that like circular entrance. Okay. With like a table and my VR and stuff.
All right, great. All right. Well, today we've been talking to Lathan Masteller, a virtual and augmented reality artist who's the February and March 2017 artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. And Lathan will be presenting a free showcase at the Visitor Center on March 11th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you for joining us today, and we wish you the best of luck on your residency.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.